Friend Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, geology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour. Got a great guest for you tonight, great show plan, and on this July the 27th on the West Coast, now July the 28th on the East Coast, in the Central Time Zone, and everywhere east of the Atlantic Ocean. Welcome to the show, especially those listening in on Blog Talk Radio and Wind Talkers Radio Network. Well, I want to start off by reading something which I think is appropriate for what's going on today. This actually came out, I believe, in around 1989. This was in the Phoenix Journal, number 9 from Chapter 8, called Exercising Freedom of Choice. Sometimes only the agony of free choice remains to an individual. Only the will remains. When you are right up against it, the unknowns outweigh the knowns, and just as with a crucifixion staring you in your human face, you become all but helpless in the terror. This is because those terrors are engraved upon the soul memory forever, for each act becomes a portion of memory and a total fear of the unknown. Death of a body comes most hard in most instances and always most outrageously at the hands of evil. Once steeped in evil, possessed is the literal word. The casting off of that energy is all but physically and mentally death-producing. Evil consumes and takes over. The light of goodness requires the freedom of will and choice. Always remember the difference and you will understand which is assisting you in your choices. When faced with the ultimate rejection of the evil, all manner of attacks come upon the mind and physical frame, and the demon itself becomes king of the hill. At a time such as this, the mind will relinquish all logic attached to mental illusions about psychological motivations, behavioral stimulations, rationales, mentalistic hedges, situational ethics, social loyalties, and communal shibboleths. All these large-named states of mental being go where they belong, into the waste heap. For, in the end, all you have remaining is your will. All that remains is your choice of free will. How many free will choices will you make before you make the ultimate one? How many have you already made? I speak of choices without outside stimuli or background in memory, without any push from acquired tastes and persuasions, without any impetus from a desire to live or die, for at some point, you will actually be indifferent to both. At some point in this journey, you will be as the mouse who sits equidistant from his favorite cheeses and yet starves to death because he cannot decide which way to go. Ah, but the paradox, on the one hand, free will is a reality, and you can be free to choose without shibboleths for criterion of a distinctive grouping or accepted common ideas, or, on the other hand, you cannot choose freedom itself. There end up being only two states of being, submission to God and goodness, or the refusal to submit to anything beyond one's own will, which refusal automatically enslaves one to the forces of evil. You must ultimately belong either to God or the devil. Every square inch and every split second in the universe is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. There is no neutral ground even for you fence sitters and middle-of-the-road standers. Ultimately, there must be a choice. You can assume that the only true state of freedom is to stand exactly halfway between God and the devil, uncommitted either to goodness or to utter selfishness, but that freedom shall be torn apart, for it is intolerable, and in fact the choice is already made by the inaction toward either. And that was from Asu Sananda, otherwise known during his lifetime on planet Earth as Jesus Christ. With that, I welcome tonight's guest. He is a biblical scholar, also a fine musician, and a friend of some musician friends of mine back east, our good friend Joe Church. Welcome back to Evident Footprints, Joe.
Hi, Don. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm great. Can't you tell?
Yes, I can tell. Yeah, it's good to be back with you, Don.
Good to have you back. What's your take on what you just heard, Joe?
Well, immediately my mind rushed to a book that was originally enclosed between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's known as the Apocrypha. Apocrypha means the hidden or hidden message.
Mm-hmm.
It was eventually taken out of the King James, but it was originally in it. The original King James was taken out later on. But I immediately went right to 2 Esdras, the second book of Esdras, verse 78. For about death, the teaching is, when the final sentence goes forth from the Most High that a man is to die, when the soul departs from the body to return again to him who gave it, first of all, it prays to the glory of the Most High. If it was one of those who scorned and did not observe the way of the Most High and of those who have despised his law and of those who hate those who fear God, such spirits shall not enter dwellings but wander about thenceforth in torment, always grieving and sad in seven ways. And it goes on to give the seven ways. Where my mind went, John, as you were reading that passage, that the Father is ultimately the final arbiter as to when the soul actually comes back to him. Regardless of what we see as a material world and a material life, he's the only one that can take that soul back. And he knows the time frame, which is good for his individual children, for one reason or another. That's basically what I got out of it, Don.
Now, Joe, not that I want to take us off course. In fact, this is where I'm going to exercise my free will for a moment here. I just got a message, an IM telling me that there have been some vehicles, okay, I'll describe it as such, currently in Denver, Colorado, on I-70, moving west is a very large train with flatbed cars containing large amounts of armored Humvees, armored vehicles, and other military transport vehicles. Now, we're asking people with cell phones to sort of let people know what's going on. Try to get pictures of this if you can. It's a sad day when we have to monitor our government, but it's better safe than sorry. We need to keep tabs on what's going on. So I thought I would use the airwaves right now to put that message out there for anyone west of Denver on I-70, moving west, a train with flatbed cars carrying armored vehicles. See if you can get a picture of that and phone that information to others in the area. Okay. Sorry for that interruption, Joe. But
No problem, Don. No.
It's important with what we have going on. We've got these unannounced exercises going on all over the country, foreign armies on our soil right now.
Sure.
So I think what you and I are going to talk about tonight is very, very, very appropriate. The latter part of this message saying that the safe place is to be somewhere in the middle of God and Satan, non-committed. That would be sitting on the fence, I would presume. And people are going to have to make a decision. If they don't understand what's going on in the world these days, I don't think any country is immune from it anywhere on the planet.
You're right.
The amount of oppression. What are your thoughts on our spiritual responsibility?
Well, I talked to you probably around in the spring about this May through September being maybe the final months of this age. September being the last month of this age. And you know, I still have to be watching. I still have to be watching. Talk to some associates, and they say there's one more year to go. It's up to the Father. It's all in His time, but we have to be good watchers. And one thing that I'm watching, Don, is very closely, is all the nations of the world coming together into this global economy, this global kingdom, this global educational system, and especially the global all-nation religious system. I mean, it's happening right in front of our eyes. I don't know how many people are really focusing in on this, but I'm going to go to a few passages tonight to even zero in a little closer on this.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, Don, that's what I'm seeing right now.
Yes. Now, when you say you see people coming together, it's not necessarily in a positive way. They're not doing this for any other reason except for, let's say, geopolitical reasons or geoeconomic reasons.
Go ahead, Don.
I was just going to ask, is that what you're saying, or?
Yes, I see all the nations of the world coming in together, not for what we would classify as in a good sense, but even though it's negative, Don, it is in a good sense because I'm seeing the scriptures being fulfilled. So for me, it's good. Because it shows that the scriptures are coming to pass.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I knew I planted seeds 30 years ago when it was very unpopular to talk about the one world government and all the nations of the world joining together. People looked at me like I had three heads. They said, this guy's, you know, now they come back to me and say, how did you know that? But, see, it's all written in the scriptures, so if we know the scriptures, we know ahead of time what's coming, and that's peace of mind by the court. In fact, even when the negative things come into being, we say, well, that's part of the plan. That's part of the plan, so what seems to be negative ultimately is going to be the most positive thing in the world. So even understanding the plan, you understand that the negative has to come into being so that the positive can come about.
Yes, yes. I was posting some of my audio archives today on my website, and I was listening to an interview that I did with Peter Kayender back in mid-March of this year. And that shows you how far behind I am on my archives. But there was one point where we talked about making choices and taking responsibility for one's choices. And it doesn't mean, well, you do something and then you say, well, I did that. And you do something else and you just say, I did that. But it's about making responsible choices that you're not going to have to make excuses for, and things that are going to propel you upward into a higher state of consciousness or into a higher vibration, or to bring you closer to God, if you want to use that term. And Peter brought up something interesting, which echoes what you just said. He said that when you see a problem, depending on how it affects you, for instance, this announcement that I made, you know, the thing is not to panic. Thing is to become informed about what's going on. That's all.
Right.
You know, there's nothing implied, but the mind tends to look for all kinds of negative outcomes, let's say, or
right.
And we have to exercise caution. We have a free will, and we have the right to do that. Certainly, when the government's not looking out for your best interest, that's the time for you to start doing it, to take responsibility. So, in that sense, you are correct that what appears to be trouble and what has to happen in order for the good to come about is really a blessing. So it's all a matter of perspective, isn't it?
Right. Yes, it is, Don. We have to get that theory into our minds.
Yes.
And ultimately, now, that is peace of mind by the court. That's what we ultimately want, is peace of mind, knowing that there is a divine plan, the Father's in control of it, and we don't want to interfere with his plan. We want to plant seeds as to what his purpose is, but we don't want to interfere with the plan because that would not be a good thing.
Well, then this brings us to that point, which I was sort of referencing in my introduction with the piece that I read from the Phoenix Journal. And what you just said, if that is the case, then we can't rely on someone else to make that choice for us, can we? I mean,
right.
we literally have to do soul searching and really apprise honestly where we are with God and where we are in this overall scheme or thing that we call life. What is our purpose for being here? I don't know about you, but I feel that so many people never, ever ask themselves that question.
I know it, Ben. I know it. It's why the fear factor creeps in and just overwhelms people. They just haven't got a working relationship with their creator. Now, people can get this working relationship even not through reading the scriptures, just in looking at nature. You can see the Father's plan. You can feel his power. You can see the trees. When I was a young kid in the classrooms in first and second grade, I used to always stare out the windows of the schoolroom and look at the trees. And the teacher used to ask me. She used to say, "What are you looking at?" I said, "I'm just looking at the trees." It was just so overwhelming to me how beautiful they were. The healthiness of the cleansing action that they did. I was watching the process of it. It was just an amazing thing to me. But, you know, I was not your average young kid. I'll be honest with you. I did some strange things when I was a kid. But, you know, my life has been a strange, strange life. But it's been a good one, and I've come in contact with a lot of people who said, "Joe, you're not strange, you're just different." And, you know, but they said in a good way, so I took it that way.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard the same things growing up,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
When they voted for the high school orchestra president, they wanted somebody more down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that meant, I don't know, because I was in the orchestra to play music. That's all I did.
Right.
but you know, I wasn't the average kid in the orchestra or the band, you know, and I guess right. some people have a problem with someone being, you know, more committed to something than they are.
Yes.
And I think that's maybe part of our problem is that people have such a hard time making commitments or, you know, keeping their word, meaning what they're committing to. And, you know, you can make a commitment to yourself first. If you can't do that, then of course you're going to experience fear. That was in the piece that I read, wasn't it?
Right.
Basically, it's that inability to make a choice that you will experience fear.
Yeah.
or by choosing something that isn't real. In other words, something that you think represents something that you have to have.
Right.
And that's a reflection of the system that you're living in. Especially when you're not making your own choices, when you submit your authority to others who really could care less what you choose. They have their own agenda in mind.
Right.
And that's that that's the dark side of what you're talking about now. Things getting worse before they get better.
Right. And, you know, it's very important, and this is the reason why I come on your show, Don, because I know your people are looking for truth and they're looking for peace and understanding and strength. And the reason I come on your show and Rick's show and just give them, because there were times in my life when I was young where I said, where are the scholars? Where are they? Why aren't they coming out? Why aren't they? And I had to go dig for every single morsel of truth that I had to find in the scriptures. And I didn't hear any scholars coming out. I was always wondering where they were. And I said, darn it, I says, I'm going to be on a talk show, and anybody that wants to ask a question, I'm going to be there for them and just give them what I've gleaned out of the scriptures, because they weren't there when I was a young kid. They weren't around. But it made me dig deeper. It made me dig on my own, and that was probably the best thing that I ever could have done, was digging on my own. But this is what it's all about, and we have to, and what I try to do, I know that giving a person the future, what's coming, is probably the best thing I could possibly give them. And the only way I can give them this knowledge is from the scriptures, which is right from the Father's throne. I've seen it come to pass in my lifetime exactly. So if it's good for me, it's good for some of those out there that want to listen to these things that I'm bringing forth. And it's right out of the scriptures. It's not that I'm bringing them forth, because I'm a nothing and a nobody. I'm a school bus driver. I mean, but the words, the future that we can look forward to and know ahead of time what's coming, that has got to be the best remedy that we could look for in this earth age. I mean, even if we don't know all the truth, you can use your common sense and see the events that I'm talking about coming to pass. I'm going to read four scriptures tonight, and just use your let you keep your the doors of your mind open, so that and if you don't understand something, just put it on the shelf, and maybe it'll come back to you in a week or two from now. But don't reject it. That's all I say. Just keep it on a shelf somewhere. And but I wanted to talk about 10 kings, Don. 10 kings that would be on this earth in the end times, ruling the entire earth. So eventually we'll get to that, those 10 kings. Did you want me to start now, Don?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
Silence is deadly on the radio. So.
Okay. Let's go to Revelation 17, 12. Revelation 17, 12. Let's see, and it reads, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." Okay, that 1 hour is a period of time, very short period of time, right at the end, last period of time. So these 10 would come into being right at the end. 13. "These have one mind. and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. The beast would be the one world globalist system with its four dynasties, political, economic, educational, and religious. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with them are called and chosen and faithful. So what we have here is 10 kings that are ruling the earth in the end times. And here we have 10 kings that people would say, well, these are 10 negative kings. But see, in the scriptures, they have to come into being so that the scriptures can be fulfilled. So this is what we should look for, these 10 kings. Okay. And they were going to fight against the Father, the Creator of the universe. They were going to actually have the audacity to fight against Him and His elect that were on the earth. God, that's a bad move. That's not a good thing. You don't want to fight, especially against His children that are on the earth. That is definitely a bad move, because he has his favorites. And boy, if you touch, like our children, I mean, if somebody touches our children, especially our favorite children, forget it. It's all over. Okay, and let's see. 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 16, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. 17, for God had put in their hearts to fulfill his will, there it is, and to agree and to give their kingdoms unto the beast. All the kings of the earth are going to give their kingdoms unto these 10 rulers in the end times, so that the words of God may be fulfilled. That's the way it reads. This is a hard concept for a lot of people to digest. 18, and the woman which thou sawest is a great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. That great city of Babylon of the end times, the confusion of the end times. Babylon means confusion. It'd be the confusion that we're seeing in the end times. So that's from the book of Revelation. Now, I want to go over to Daniel, so Zechariah chapter 20 to 23. Zechariah chapter 8. So, well, give me a second. Over there.
Now, Joe, before we run away from the passage that you were just reading, Revelation 17, at 17:15, the reference to the whore.
Yes.
When I look at what's transpiring in the world today, I would say that that's the United States.
Okay. Well, anybody that's leading the charge, of course, is, in the scripture, it says, the bigger you are, the harder you're going to fall in the end times. Now, that goes for the four dynasties, the political, economic, educational, and religious.
Yes.
So the bigger you are, the bigger the fall is going to be. You're right, Don.
In fact, I could be more specific geographically and say Washington, D.C.,
yes, well, I mean, it's the governments that are going to be dealt with. The people are not going to be judged. It's the governments that are going to be set on fire. It's not the people. The people are beautiful people worldwide. It's the fake religion, the fake governmental leaders that are forcing the issue with the brainwashing and the controls that they put on the people. The people are great people.
Or this could very likely be the UN, too, you know.
Right.
Our peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues.
That's it.
That sounds like the UN.
It's a whole ball of wax.
Yeah.
And the bigger you are in that ball of wax, the hotter it is. You're going to have a bigger fall.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now you wanted to go to. I just wanted to clarify that. That was what I was feeling, you know, in my spirit. But
oh yeah, right on target then. But don't say we don't look at the American people. The American people are great people.
No,
it's the leaders.
Yes, I'm saying the government.
That's it. You got it right on target. And these words that I'm saying here, Rick, Don.
Don. This is the Rick Adams show, everybody. You're on Rick's show so much.
right.
I don't have his voice, though, that velvet voice.
right. These words that I'm bringing forth tonight, Don, which are my father's words, this is a fire that I'm kindling under these governments of the world that are deceiving the peoples of the world.
Mm-hmm.
See? This is a fire. I'm bringing forth fire, Don. This is a fire that's I'm putting right under their seats. And they're shaking, Don. They're shaking.
Yeah, I know they don't like this talk. Especially an honest expression of faith.
It's the Father's plan, and when you realize that you're fulfilling the negative part of His plan, it's not a comfortable situation to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to say to them out there that are listening, you can come over to our side. The water's beautiful. Come on in. The water's beautiful. You don't have to stay there. Ask the Father. He'll show you how to make the translation. He'll do it. He'll translate you.
Okay, now your next passage was from which book?
Zechariah chapter 8. And let's go over to verse 20. Actually, I should start at 19. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth month, and the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the tenth month shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore, love the truth and peace. The truth is the word of God, and it brings peace with it. But this house of Judah, see, there's the house of Israel and the house of Judah. This house of Judah had to have this these next words that I'm going to bring forth. Understood, they have to understand it properly, so that it's the fast, see, they're all fast. They talk about the fast of these 4 months. To keep it simple, it was when you fast in the scriptures, in other words, you're reading the scriptures and you're not reading any other man's work, any other books by men or newspapers or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You're fasting you're feasting in the word, but you're fasting from the rest of the world. In other words, you're fasting, you're staying away from their material, and you're feasting in the Father's Word. All right, verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Now see this many people and strong nations that we were just talking about earlier? They're all going to go to the Lord, who is the Lord of hosts, who is in Jerusalem. But there's a problem here. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, 23, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men, oh, there's that 10 men, Isn't that mm-hmm. strange that the book of Revelation talked about those 10 men? And it reads, shall take hold out of all languages of the nations. That's all the nations of the world. These are the same 10 men. This is in Zechariah the prophet. He's talking about the 10 kings of the end times that come out of all the nations of the earth. And shall take hold of the spirit of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Now the problem comes in, as you and I have talked in the past. Many of the Christian scholars around the world don't know the difference between a true Judahite and a Kenite, a son of Cain from Genesis.
Yes, this is true. You and I have talked about that. But go over that again, if you would.
Over what, Don? The Kenite?
What you just said, yes. The difference between a Kenite and a, let's say, a Sephardic Jew.
Yes, a true seed line, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, Judahite. They can't make the... Then Judah was one of 12 tribes. There are 11 other tribes besides Judah. But take them 12 tribes and go umbilical cord to umbilical cord. In the scriptures, if you read the Old Testament, they were designated when the scriptures refer to them as Jacobites. Jacob would be the natural seed line, umbilical cord to umbilical cord. His name was changed to Israel, he who rules with the Father, or the prince who rules with God, Israel. And that was the spiritual name because that was the Jacobites plus all the nations of the world, or the ethnos, or the nations that came and joined in with the Jacobites, because they saw the blessings that the Father had poured on them, and they loved their way, their lifestyle, and the way they did things. And the teachers of the scriptures just can't understand how the seed line of Cain, which is mentioned in chapter 4, Genesis. Cain and his sons in chapter 4, who, by the way, all had Hebrew names. Now, Cain was not of his father, Adam, because the next chapter, chapter 5, Adam's listed in his seed line. Cain is never found in Adam's genealogy under his seed line. So Cain has a separate father. Abel was the father of Adam, but of course he was killed by his brother, so the seed line started with Seth,
mm-hmm.
who took his place as the first one. And by the way, Cain killed his brother Abel. It was the first premeditated murder for religious reasons. Okay, now that seed line has been completely ignored by the scholars, the great scholars that we have on the earth today. Completely ignored. They talk about the 12 tribes of Israel, but they never talk about the Kenites and their lineage. And their lineage can be traced right through the scriptures. You go to First Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. The last verse talks about the Kenites, who were keeping the books and the records and the scriptures and the economic books for the house of Judah. Gives a big long listing of the sons of Judah. Umbilical cord to umbilical cord to umbilical cord. This, we got that, we got this one, and we got that one. Then at the end, and it says, and the Kenites were the bookkeepers, and it gives their families. All the different families that you can trace through the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
as keeping the books for Judah, and they actually were the same one and the same sons of Cain But the scholars in this country can't see that. They say, they've given me answers, Don. Oh, well, they got wiped out in the flood. And this and that. Well, how is it that in the Book of Chronicles and in Jeremiah 34, thousands of years, hundreds of years later, how is it that they're still mentioned? Jeremiah 35, the Rechabites, are still mentioned. And, of course, in that First Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55, it talks about the sons of Rechab. So they were the Rechabites.
Well, and they're the same people keeping the books today.
Exactly. This is where the problem's coming in.
Or not keeping the books. It's maybe a better way to describe it.
That's it, Don. I mean, there again, here you have the negative part of the father's plan. Now, these same Kenites, the father, when if you read about Cain, the story of Cain, Cain said to the father, he says, your punishment is too much for me to bear. He says, am I my brother's keeper? And he lied to the heavenly father. You don't want to do that. But he said, I'm going to put a mark on you. And then Cain said back to him, he says, well, everybody knowing me and all my generation is going to want to kill us. And he said, no, he who touches Cain seven times will come upon his head. The father was protecting him and making him going to be the negative part of his plan all the way through to the end. That's why they worked into the priesthood in Joshua's time. And that's why when in the book of Joshua, he said, I'm not going to cleanse the priesthood anymore until the end of this age. And even when Jesus came to this earth, he didn't cleanse the priesthood because he knew they had to go right to the end. And here we are, Don. But see, it takes somebody to dig this. You've got to get a big shovel to dig this out.
But, I've been using my shovel for lots of other digging lately.
Did I cover enough on the Kenites, Don?
Yeah. That, in essence, you're showing that history is there, and it's been there from the beginning.
From the beginning, yes.
Of this age we're talking about.
And that's why the Kenites today, who people call Jews, that they call themselves Jews and people refer to them as Jews. See, they can't make the distinction. They can't discern between a true Judahite, true Jew, and a Kenite that calls himself a Jew. See, there's two different entities here that you're dealing with. And if you don't have that knowledge, you're dead in the water. You're definitely going to make a wrong move one way or another.
Yeah, and you could. It would be fair to say that the Kenites are the Zionists, too.
I would say that, you know, any Zionism without Jesus Christ is definitely false Zionism.
Yes.
Definitely. I mean, that's right out of the scriptures.
Well, I put the bankers and the military-industrial complex into that category automatically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not God's plan.
it makes the Book of Revelation real. It's all the armies of the earth are going to fight against the Heavenly Father in the end times. So everybody that's in that army, hey, guess what? You're working for the wrong father without knowing it. I'm trying to drink some coffee here now. I'm talking here.
Well, you know what comes to mind, and you see this throughout our society, too. It bears pointing out. You remember a few years ago, maybe it was 3 years ago or so, there was a judge down south someplace. Might have been in Arkansas, if I remember correctly. Could have been Alabama or Mississippi, but it seems like it was Arkansas. There was a judge who was ordered to take the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom.
Right.
And he... I think at one point they were on a big tablet or something, and they brought this out out of the courtroom, out in front of City Hall, and they were threatening a daily fine. I don't remember if it was $1,000 or $5,000, whatever it was, but see, they have to get money for this, you know, for his refusal to do that. But then they mock God by saying the Pledge of Allegiance before us on television, you know, when the House of Representatives gets together, and when the Senate gets together, they go through this facade of you know, having I'm not thinking of the word right now, but you know, a pastoral leader who leads them in prayer and says a prayer that they make the right decisions, and they turn around and they're just totally corrupt. I mean, you know, talk about blasphemy right there.
Yeah.
But this obsession with getting God out of everything, as if that is a right that one or two have over millions. Go ahead.
They know where our strength is, Don. They know where our strength lies. It's in knowing the Father and our relationship with Him through understanding His scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
They have to take this knowledge away from us, get it out of our hands. These people have too much time to go study this word. It's like in Exodus. They went to Pharaoh, they said, we want to go out and take our people out into the wilderness for 3 days to worship our Father. Oh, the Pharaoh's got all mad. He says, you got too much time on your hands. He says, now I want you to make bricks without straw and double the course load. They don't want us understanding these scriptures, Don, especially what we're bringing forth tonight. They don't want people understanding this because they know this is our power.
Mm-hmm.
They know this is our power.
Now, what are your feelings, as much as you'd like to share with us, on those in the ministry who are promoting, you know, the attacking of another country, say, you know, supporting Israel's stance to attack Iran or any other country, for that matter, Palestine? What are your feelings about those ministers who cannot be telling the truth if they're condoning war?
Some of them don't know any better, Don. Some of them do know what they're doing. They're deliberately deceiving. They will receive their just rewards from their Father. The ones that don't know and just go by what they've been taught and haven't dug it out for themselves, they will not be as accountable. However,
the sheeple of the ministry, you know, just mm-hmm. like that, we have the same sheeple in society that
right.
don't pay any attention to anything that's going on.
Right.
So I'm not saying that we should judge them, but is there any difference between being a willing participant or an ignorant participant?
No, because even the ignorant participant is leading others astray.
Yes, yes.
So that's you know, that's something you got to deal with. I mean, believe me, there were many years that I wanted to come out much earlier, and I couldn't do it. The Father would not allow it. And it wasn't just till recently, 4 or 5 years ago, that He would allow the bringing forth this message. But they're right where they should be, Don. They did this all before, and I believe that they're doing it all again the same way that they did it before. There might be a little change with some of them as far as numbers are concerned, but they did this all before the same way.
But it looks like this is going to be the last time here, doesn't it?
Well, there is one more time coming, believe it or not, the millennium. It's going to be that millennium, which a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And so there will be that time when all truth will be burned into their minds and hearts. And then finally they'll make that final they'll have enough information to make that to get off the fence one side or the other. Depending on how they do it then, that's it. Three strikes and you're out. They did the same thing that they're doing now at the end of this age, right now as we speak. They did the same thing, Don, at the end of the First World Age, which was an age just before this when we were in angelic bodies. They did this all before. They're doing it the same exact way. A few are being pulled from the fire, but not many. So,
yeah, that I think is just a matter of personal choice, isn't it? I mean, ultimately, we can try to pull others out of the fire, so to speak, but there comes a point where we're infringing upon their free will. I mean,
right,
they have the choice, and they take responsibility for it, ultimately.
And that's ultimately what the Father's looking for. He wants to let them go, let them see. See, the Father can't make them love him. It has to come from each individual's heart. He can't, if I force my wife to love me, she doesn't really love me, but I'm forcing her. It has to come from within her. And the same with his children. It has to come from within. They have to want to seek him out and be a son or a daughter to him. Let me be your son and daughter. Let me grow close to you. I need you. You can talk to him just like I'm talking to you right now. You don't have to be no holy Joe or no... he's listening. He's listening. Can I go to one other passage, Don?
Sure. Just let us know which one so we can...
All right. It's Daniel chapter 2, verse 40.
That's one of my favorite books.
Oh, yeah. Daniel meaning God judges or the judge of God. Dan means judge. El means God. So, Daniel chapter 2, verse 40 reads, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all things, all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise." 41. "And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes of the potter's clay, pot of potter's clay and pot of iron." In other words, you saw the feet, and it had 10 toes. There's 10 toes on feet, even though it's not mentioned. We know what it's saying here because we know toes, there's 10 toes on, 5 and 5 on each foot. So there's 10 toes. These toes of this, he was talking about a great image. There was, the head was gold, and he described the different pots, brass, and the pots of this body, this image. To make a long story short. And the feet of it were made of iron and clay, a mixture of iron and clay. Well, we know that iron and clay are not a strong mixture to begin with. It's a very weak compounding. So this iron and clay would be holding up the entire image, which would be symbolic of the one world government today. Because of, and see the 10 toes? The
mm-hmm.
10 toes were the 10 rulers of the end times that we were talking about, of Revelation and Zechariah. They were trying to do the balancing act. Toes balance the body. You know, when you stand up and your toes, they kind of do a balancing act, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these ten kings are trying to do the balancing act to get this one world system on track. And the feet that held the toes were part of iron and part of clay. This would be your clay, if you would be the Adamic peoples of the earth, and the iron would be more of let's even say Cain seed line, who most people don't even see. But there was a mixture of those two, because we talked about this earlier. mm-hmm. let's say, a mixture of these two seed lines to make this whole one world thing work. But see, it wasn't a good mixture because clay and iron, the Adamites, Adamic race, and the Kenite race, they don't mix real good. It's not a good mixture. But see, the world leaders in the end, the ten rulers, they were trying to do this balancing act with this iron and clay, with the Kenites and the Adamics. You know, let's make this thing work. Let's make it fly. Let's make it happen. 42. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be broken. Shall be partly strong and partly broken. So here we're talking about a kingdom. See? And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Men, Adam means men. But they shall not cleave one to another. Even as iron is not mixed with clay. It's not a strong mixture. And in the days of these kings, and we know how many there are because there's 10 toes, 10 kings, Revelation, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. You see how people could twist this?
Mm-hmm.
The kingdoms of this earth have to be destroyed, the physical kingdoms. That's why if you're in a flesh body and the Messiah is returned, he's a fraud. This is the crux of the matter. As long as you're in a flesh body and you pinch it and it hurts, you know that you're still in a flesh body and the true Messiah has not returned. When he returns, you will be changed into another body that you can put your one hand right through your arm. It'll go right through it.
Well, so just on the basis of my research, Joe, I'd have to say that that's true. The Messiah that they've been touting on the media is a fraud. That's certain.
That's it, Don. I mean, common sense has to come into play here. But see, common sense has been lost, Don. It's a lost commodity today.
Yeah.
The brainwashing has been so thorough. And the only way that I would be able to pull this out would be through the scriptures that were written thousands of years ago. This is my newspaper. I can't read newspapers today. I can't do it. I'd be blind. I'd go blind. This is the only vision that I can see. This is the only thing that I can see. So now, 45. For as the last verse. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. Now this was a stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands. In other words, it was a supernatural happening. Stone. The stone would eventually destroy this feat, the feat of this image. And that break it in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. This was the different parts of the body of this image, or the one world government, if you will, in the end times. The great God had made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof is true. So this stone was cut out of the mountains without hands. This stone is symbolic of the word of God. Cut out of the mountain. It was cut out of the one world government.
Yeah,
you
know, I mean, when
knowledge
saying,
coming out of the one world government, it would actually, and as we're reading this, Don, this is happening. Because this is the stone right here that we're casting at the feet of this iron and clay. See? This word that I'm reading, not me, but the word that I'm reading is going to bust this iron and clay mixture. Because of the truth value that I'm bringing out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do that with the word, obviously. This is saying something, you know, a declaration, if you will.
I'm dropping nuclear bombs here. These are strong, powerful weapons.
And you pronounce the word nuclear correctly, too. Yeah, that's a rare commodity these days, actually. I hear so many people use W's version, scientists and all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think people are paying attention to what they're saying, you know, because to misuse a word and not use the correct word is a lie in and of itself. And they're making declarations about things that they can't even pronounce.
Right.
How serious do you think they are about those pronouncements?
That's right. Yeah. Well, this is what we have today, Don. I mean, this is from a newspaper that you can't go back 200 years and find in archives. This is from thousands of years ago, this knowledge. Now, how did they know in the end times that there would be a one-world government? Never before in the history of the Earth have all the nations of the Earth even had an opportunity to be together. Yet here we have all the nations joining together. People predicted the end of the world 400 or 500 years ago. But there was that formula that the kings of the earth were never joined together because they didn't even know about other nations of the world at that time, let alone all of them joined together.
Well, heck, they predicted the end of the world 10 years ago when they realized that the PC computers' clocks were going to run out in the year 2000.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
We had that same prediction.
Right, right. This is what we're looking at as far as you know, the rulers of the end times. And people say to me, Joe, seems like a negative message. And I say, it's negative in as much as the negative part of his plan has to come to pass so that the positive can follow. So I mean, that's a hard thing for a lot of people to handle. You know, it's just too negative for them. They just say, "Wow, that's."
It points out again. I'm going to repeat something I said earlier about perspective. You see, if you're approaching this from fear, you're already weakened. You know, your ability to comprehend what's going on. It's the people that experience the fear whose eyes glaze over when you talk about this or these types of subjects. And so they would prefer not to take any responsibility and just keep being sheeple.
Yeah. They want some man to lead them. That's all it is. They don't want the father to lead them. They want some man.
Yeah, it's the non-committal aspect that we were discussing much earlier in the show.
That's good. Yeah.
Well,
you know, Elijah the prophet.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Joe.
Elijah the prophet, when they sent out the government troops against him, 50 at a time, fire came from heaven and devoured the 50. There's nothing to fear. The Father can handle it just nicely. He has agencies that would make our FBI look like a Cub Scout group. He can handle any situation. All we've got to do is lean on him. Read a little passage every day. No matter what your life is, read a little passage. It'll apply to you in your life. Your life is different than mine. Read what the Father has to say to you. What he says to me in that same passage might be different from what he says to you. You understand it for your life expertise. You have expertise because you've lived that life that you have. That's your expertise. Now, with his knowledge inserted into that expertise, you have the operating procedure. Try it out. Especially in these end times. He wants anybody that's seeking him out in these end times, Don, I'm telling you, he's going to pour out a blessing on them. Because there's not many doing it, Don. I mean, true seekers. You know, people that really seek his truth.
Yes, and you know, it comes in many different ways. And it comes in different ways to each one of us that are seeking it. But we seem to be able to pinpoint a common theme or a common thread behind the information that we get.
Right.
You know, often it's through prayer. I can tell you my experience, you know, for the past 7-8 months solid has been getting prayers answered. Do I get them all answered? No. There is such a thing as God's timing. It doesn't mean that it's not effective prayer. Those prayers are heard. They're heard even before they're asked.
Yes.
And go ahead.
And when we pray to him, let it stay right there. Don't ask a second time. Just ask once. He hears it. He hears it clearly. If it's in his will, he's going to answer it. But don't ask a second time. Because that's showing weakness. One time, that's it. And then you know you've arrived. You can have that confidence.
Yeah, that's very true. I agree with that. Well, Joe, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for being on the show. Do you want to, do you have a closing message? You already gave us a couple, but something that you want to leave with the listening audience until your next appearance on the show in August?
Yes, Don. Yes, two quick verses will sum it up. Revelation 13, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, that's verse 1. I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, is that 10 horns that we were talking about. And upon his head 10 crowns. 10 crowns on the 10 kings. And upon his head the name of blasphemy. And I'm going to go down to verse 3. And I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death. One of these 10 horns. And his deadly wound was healed by none other than the religious beast, which is over in verse 10. And here's the kicker, Don. And all the world wondered after the beast. All the world, after this thing was healed by this religious beast. In these end times, if you're going with the majority, all the world is going to wonder after the beast. Something's wrong. Recheck your thoughts. Always make sure that you're not going with the flow of the world community on issues, because you're going to be on the wrong side. This is something, put it on the shelf if you don't understand it, but understand what these end times is all about. When you see peace and prosperity breaking out worldwide, understand what it is. You work within it and understand that what the prophecies of the end times are. And that's about it, Don.
Okay, Joe, thank you very much. I am going to make one more announcement here before we say goodnight to our listening audience. And this is a personal request. If you would, make note of any large troop movements and or military vehicles moving over interstate highway systems or on railroads, take a picture, even a cell phone photo will do, or an email. I'm going to give you an email address to send that to. That address is 1 Tin Soldier USMC at yahoo.com. Again, 1 Tin Soldier USMC at yahoo.com. And thank you. Joe, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for being on the show. I look forward to your next visit.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Don.
In the meantime, you go with Godspeed.
Thank you, Don. Same to you.
Thank you. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our special guest tonight has been Mr. Joe Church. And we're going to get Joe back here in August. As soon as I know those dates, they'll be posted up on the schedule. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and also the folks at Blog Talk Radio and Wind Talkers Radio Network. Thank you for listening in tonight. I wish everyone out there in radio land a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.